Well, good morning. You know, we serve an incredible God, so good to us, so mindful, you know, in the knowledge of the Holy. When you got that knowledge, that's the kind of prayers that you, when you pray, you know that he's the only one that can do something like that. He's the only one that can heal totally, totally. There's none like him, and I just thank him for this opportunity again this morning just to come here and share this message that I have prepared. You know, the knowledge is so important that we take heed to this knowledge, and to just because you have to speak right about him. There's no doubt in your mind, in human's mind, that we have to speak right about him. So this is part two. And it's about his attributes. You know, we talked about the self-existence last week, and this week, today, there's three of his attributes that we're going to talk about. But we're going to head and get started. Next slide. It is absolutely critical that we know Elohim. As long as man trusted Elohim, everything was perfect. He was healthy, holy, pure, and good. And we've seen that in the garden. As long as they trusted him, everything was perfect. But man fell when he lost his right concept of Elohim. When he lost the concept, when he started thinking differently about who he was and who he is and all his majesty and all the power that he pertains, that's when man fell. It says, when the knowledge of Elohim began to go out of the mind of man, we got into the fix that we are in now. Romans 1, 21 through 32. One of my 1,000 slides, Brother Chad, ask me if I have scriptures. First one. It says, because that when they knew Elohim, they glorified him not as Elohim, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible Elohim into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And they changed the glory. Man. You talking about you get yourself in a world of trouble when you want to change the glory of the uncorruptible Elohim? Verse 24, wherefore Elohim also gave them up to uncleanness. This is the kind of trouble you get yourself into. Through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of Elohim into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, Elohim gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burning their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain Elohim in their knowledge, Elohim gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not covenant. When you try to change his glory, when you mess with his glory, this is what he does. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, magnanimity, whispers, backbiters, haters of Elohim, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of Elohim, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. When men lost the concept, when they messed with the glory of trying to change his glory, you can't change his glory. His glory is his glory. But when they try to change it, that's the kind of situation they get into. He said he gave them that mind to do that. All that came about because man's lost his confidence in Elohim. And the only way to have restored confidence in Elohim is to have restored knowledge of Elohim. When you lose confidence, you lose faith in somebody. If I ain't got no confidence in you, I ain't got no faith in you. But the only way to restore that is to restore the knowledge of who he is. Psalms 9:10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Yahweh, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Our Elohim is perfect in knowledge and power. And that was in last week's slide, too. I threw a couple of them back up in here. Because that's so important. We got to know for a fact that our Elohim, the one we serve, not the little bitty G-O-Ds, they have no perfect knowledge and power. When we speak of Elohim's attributes, we are talking about his characteristics that helps us to understand who he truly is. And same as humans, as us, you know, we have characteristics that describe who we are. You know, my wife tells me I'm so nonchalant, which, you know, I don't get flustered. I don't let things bother me. If somebody cuts me off or just any little thing, I just go with the flow. It is what it is. You know, she says I keep her grounded because, oh, I would tell him if Josh wouldn't be with me, she'd be sending a text out to somebody or Facebook message. But I didn't always have that. But when you put Christ on, you start acting like he act. You start doing things that he wants you to do. Because I can remember one time, right after Katrina, we was living in Houma, and we had the big old 15-passenger van, and the kids was little, and they was in the back. Man, the 18-wheeler came, I mean, cut right in front of me. And I didn't have, back then, I didn't have this cool characteristic. Boy, I speed up by this big old 18-wheeler, and I'm hollering at him out the window. And we must have had about 4 or 5 drinks in the front seat right here. Boy, and I'm throwing them at him. Boom, boom. I'm like, you pull over. She jumps in the back seat by the kid. I swear, if Bella would have never been in the car seat, I probably would have threw the car seat at him. Boy, and I was hollering at him just... That characteristic, it wasn't the one I have now. Because now, that don't bother me. You know, if you cut me off, oh, well, you know. The other day, a woman blew a horn at me because I was backing up, and I didn't really see. I was coming out from Starbucks. And I just blew the horn back at her. She was walking back in her door. And Bella said, oh, Daddy, she just flipped you off. I was like, oh, that's all right, my baby. Don't worry about it. But, you know, that I wanted that 18-wheeler to stop. We was going, man, I had 2 kids in the car and my wife, and you want to cut me off? But, man, I wanted to fight them. But, you know, like now that it's a different characteristic. I put him on. I'm not worrying about that. You know, hey, people going to do, you can't stop people from doing what they're doing. People are foolish, some of them. But you just roll with it. An attribute is something which Elohim has declared to be true about himself. And these are the 3 that we're going to talk about. Omnipotence. Huh? Omnipotence. Omniscience. And omnipresence. And omni is the Latin root meaning all. Omni. Elohim's omnipotence. Omnipotent means the state of having unlimited power. Thus, Elohim's authority is unlimited. Unlimited power. And we've seen that in Genesis 1:1. I mean, when he started creating, just by him speaking, everything was just popping. He made things pop. This means Elohim can do what he wants. It means he is not subject to physical limitations like man is. We are subject to physical limitations. There's a lot of things that we can't do. I mean a lot. But there's nothing that he can't do. Being omnipotent. I struggle with this word, I tell you. Elohim has power over wind, water, gravity, physics? Uh-oh. Elohim has power over a lot of people. NASA wouldn't agree with that. Power over physics, etc. Elohim's power is infinite or limitless. Psalms 89, 1 through 9. I will sing of the mercies of Yahweh forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Yahweh, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto Yahweh? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto Yahweh? El is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. Now, you know, we know fear doesn't mean scared. It means just to have that reverence, that just to be able to glorify him in the assembly. This is not a fear to be scared. This is the utmost respect for him. And to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Yahweh Elohim of hosts, who is a strong Yah like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Thou rulest the raging of the sea when the waves thereof arise. Thou stillest them. Power over the waves, the wind, physics. Elohim has the unlimited power to accomplish anything that can be accomplished. Nothing he can't do. Nothing too small, nothing great. He has the power to accomplish anything. Revelations 19, 5 and 6. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our Elohim, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for Yahweh El Shaddai, omnipotent, reigneth. And I listened to this thing 5-6 times while I was upstairs just going over it. Hit the little button, you know, to say it to you. Omnipotent. Potent. Why I want to say potent all the time? Omnipotent. Oh, all right. Elohim is omnipotent, almighty. He's almighty. I'm going to say it simple. He's almighty. He's omni. He's everything. All. And my sovereign Yahweh, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Job 42, 1 through 7. Verse 1. Then Job answered Yahweh and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Remember last week when I said the closer you get to him, The closer we got to him, the more we realized we didn't know what we knew about him. The lesser we knew. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after Yahweh had spoken these words unto Job, Yahweh said to Eliphaz and the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job had. So important. Job had the knowledge of the holy. That's why he spoke the way he spoke. And when his friends didn't, that's what Yahweh told him, because they have not spoken right about me. He told him, now go to Job and let him pray for you. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. It says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Master Yeshua and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the El of our Master Yeshua Messiah, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the Master Yeshua Messiah, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. First, we got to believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Messiah when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in heavenly places. You think he owns all power? He raised his son from the dead. Told him 3 days. Not a minute later, not a minute earlier. That's all, having all power, when you can raise the dead. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the assembly, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Omniscience means all knowing. Mean there's nothing. There's nothing that he doesn't know about us here. There's nothing that he doesn't know about them in Costa Rica, them in Indiana, them in Nepal. He knows it all. Elohim has declared by divine revelation that he is omniscient, that he knows everything. Genesis 4, 8 through 11. Listen, this is about Cain and Abel. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And Yahweh said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? He knew it. He knows it all. Cain thought he could have got over on him. I don't know where he's at. Am I my brother's keeper? He says, the voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, and had opened her mouth, which had opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. All knowing. He knew it. He knew what Cain had done. Isaiah 40:12. Who had measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountain in scales and the hills in a balance? Who measured that? All-knowing, omniscience. The scientists, the greatest scientists can't do this. How are they going to measure her? How can they weigh mountains and scales? How can they measure water? They can't measure water. Only one omniscience can measure water. Isaiah 44:7. Who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. I like when he asks that question. Who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes. Let him recount it to me in order. From the time that I established the ancient nation, and let them declare to them the things that are coming and events that are going to take place. I like to see him try to tackle that. Who's going to declare the things that are coming? There's only one person that knows the future. Only one. And the events that are going to take place. I love that scripture, I tell you. Isaiah 45:11-12. Thus said Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. Ask me. He's asking us. He's telling us. Ask me of things to come concerning you. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. Elohim is all-knowing in the sense that he is aware of the past, present, and future. Nothing takes him by surprise. His knowledge is total. He knows all that can be known. Nothing takes him by surprise. You know, Satan just thought that he did from day one. In the very beginning, he thought that he can take him by surprise. But before the foundations of the world, Yeshua was crucified. He had it already in plan, already in motion. His knowledge is total. He knows all that can be known. When we say Elohim is omniscient, we mean that he knows all that there is to know. There is nothing that is outside the scope of his conception, understanding, or attention. Elohim neither studies nor learns for one, nor learns for one cannot increase a knowledge that is already insurmountable. Had to break it down a little bit for y'all right there. Insurmountable. He knows everything. There's nothing he can't. What is that for him to study? What, when you create everything, when you own everything, you know all about it. I got to look around just because I keep standing at Brother Chad back there. And I tend to just focus on one person when I'm preaching. I'm like scared to look at everybody. But unsurmountable. What is there for him to learn? There's nothing for him to learn. He knows it all. And how incredible is that? That our Father knows everything. And that's the one we get to serve. That's the one that we get to serve, the one that knows it all. That's incredible to me. Incredible. There is one reality, and Elohim knows it in its entirety, as it exists by, through, and for him. Elohim is neither surprised by the way the world works itself out, nor shocked by the choices we make. That's no surprises about us sometimes how we act. But I thank him for his correction. I thank him for his chest. I thank him for his grace and his mercy. You know, that those choices sometimes that we make, like me slinging those drinks at that truck driver, that didn't shock him. You know, he knew I was going to act a fool that day when I was in my mom's womb. He knew that from the very beginning. He's like, yep, 2 years after, a year after Katrina, or a couple of months after Katrina, however long it was. He said, I see you acting a fool. I see you. But then I see you on what's today's date? I see you on February 11th sharing my word. I see it. I see the future. So go ahead and act a fool today, but that's all right. Ezekiel 11:5. And the spirit of Yahweh fell upon me and said unto me, speak, thus said Yahweh. Thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind. Every one of them. I know everything that come into your mind. I know it before you even think that you're going to think it. I seen it. Acts 15:16-18. That's why it's so important to speak right about him. It's so important to have this knowledge of the holy. Because he knows it before we even say it. Before we even think it. Acts 15:16-18. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after Yahweh, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, said Yahweh, will do it all these things. Known unto Elohim are all his works from the beginning of the world. Psalms 145:7. Great is our sovereign and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Romans 2:14-16. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when Elohim shall judge the secrets of men, by Yeshua Messiah, according to my good news. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of Elohim. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. 1 John 3:18-20. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, Elohim is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. He even knows your heart. Psalms 139:114, all knowing. This is like one of my favorites passages of scriptures. O Yahweh, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Yahweh, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beside me, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. He's before me and he's behind me. He goes before me and he's after me, and his hand is upon me. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yeah, the darkness hide it not from thee, but the night shine it as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul know it right well. Job 34, 21 through 25. I tell you, when you, speaking of Job, was just incredible. Job, you talking about knowledge of the holy, and he knew that Yahweh was all in all in him, that he lacked nothing. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his doings. There is no darkness for shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. For he will not lay upon man more than right, that he should enter into judgment with El. He shall break in pieces mighty men without number, and set others in their stead. Therefore he knoweth their works, and he overturneth them in the night, so that they are destroyed. Omnipresence means all present. And all present means it's, you know, you try to wrap your mind around that. How can it be here? How can it be way over there? But when you own omnipresence, and it's his fullness. It's not just a part of him here in Louisiana. It's not a part of him over there. It's his fullness over everything, everywhere. 2 Chronicles 2:5-6. And the house which I built is great, for great is our Elohim above all mighty ones. But who is able to build him an house, seeing that heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? The heaven of heavens cannot contain him. You can't contain God. He's the container. He contains everything. You can't contain him, not even the heavens of heavens. Who am I then that I should build him an house, save only to burn sacrifice before him? No one can hide from Elohim. And we've seen that in old Jonah. Jonah thought he could hide. He ran. He was gone. Boy, was he in for a rude awakening. Jeremiah 23:23-24. Am I an Elohim at hand, said Yahweh, and not an Elohim afar off? Am I just here? No, I'm everywhere. I'm not just here. Like I said, I'm in Costa Rica. I'm in Nepal. I'm in Indiana. I'm not just at hand. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, said Yahweh? Do not I fill heaven and earth, said Yahweh? Do not I fill heaven and earth? Let me give you an illustration of filling heaven and earth. Do not I fill heaven and earth? It's like you would take this bucket and you go into to the Gulf waters and you fill this bucket up with water and you submerge it. Okay, now this bucket is full of the Gulf water is full with the water of the Gulf, and that's how he fills heaven and earth. We are filled with him, but yet that bucket, the Gulf water, is surrounding that bucket in all directions when it's submerged. And that's just how Yahweh fills. The earth is filled with him, but yet the earth is submerged in him, and he is around in all directions, the earth. That's how it is. That's how he is. That's how he gets to fill it. It's filled with him, but yet it is submerged in him, if that makes any sense. Amos 9:2-3, though they dig into the grave thence shall my hand take them. They can't hide from them. Though they dig into a grave, thence my hands take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hid themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. The word present means here, close to, next to. And the prefix omni gives it universal. Yeah. Versatile. Anybody want to say that? What is it? Elohim is everywhere here, close to everything, and next to everyone. This term means that Elohim is capable of being everywhere at the same time. It means his divine presence encompasses the whole of the universe. There is no location where he does not inhabit. He inhabits everything. His divine presence encompasses the whole of the universe. Elohim is everywhere, present in the fullness of his being. Not parts of him. In the fullness of his being. He's everywhere. All of them. Not some of them. All of them. Psalms 91 through 2. It says, Yahweh, thou hast been our dwelling places in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, thou hast formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art El. Psalms 139, 1 through 10. O Yahweh, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising. Did I read that already? I put it in here twice. Let's read it. Thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. We might have needed to hear it twice. I don't know. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Yahweh, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. And such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. That's so true. His knowledge is too wonderful for us to even attain it. We can't even, it's mind-blowing, his knowledge. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Job 11, 7 through 9. Aren't you glad that even there his right hand upholds us? It's amazing. Job 11, 7 through 9. Canest thou by searching find out Eloah? Canest thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canest thou do? Deeper than the grave. What canest thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. And just a couple of more. The fact that Elohim is everywhere present in a constant source of comfort is a constant source of comfort for believers. The fact that he is present everywhere. I don't know about you, but that brings me comfort. Wherever the believer may go, they will find themselves in the protection of Elohim's presence. There is no place where a believer can get away from Elohim's reach. His presence may be experienced at any time and at any place. We don't have to be here to experience his presence. It's no certain place. You know, it's an honor and a privilege that he gives us to come and collectively assemble together and do that. But you can be in your house. You could be in your car. You can be anywhere. You can be at a ballpark. And his presence will be there. His presence may be experienced at any time and at any place. Elohim has promised the believer that he is with them always. Isaiah 43:2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. That's comforting as a believer. You know, we've seen it all through the scripture. Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach in the fire. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never, never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never leave us nor forsake thee. And the last one, the universe that Elohim created finds the Creator everywhere. He is everywhere present in his works and in his personality. He's everywhere present in his works and in his personality. His presence is everywhere in the universe. The truth of Elohim's omnipresence is comforting for the believer, for no one can escape Elohim's notice. I am so, so thankful that he is the God that we serve is owns all power, all authority, all might, and he's with me everywhere I go. From the time I close my eyes at night and when I have no conscience of what's going on, he's there with me. He's there with me. Then when I wake up in the morning, when my eyes open up and on my way to work throughout the day, he's there with me. And it's just like it says, it's such an incredible comfort to know that he's with me and that he loves me that much the way he wants to spend time with me. And I just thank him. He's so good to us, so good. The knowledge, I tell you, the knowledge of the Holy, it's exciting to me to be studying this. Because, you know, just to speak right about him is so important, so critical that we speak right about him. And I just love him and appreciate him. I thank y'all again for coming out this morning, for listening. And let's remember the announcements. And, you know, let's remember our pastors, you know, continue to pray for them. I haven't heard anything in a couple of days. The last couple of texts that we had got out, I sent it out to Sister Linda. But they was in doing some incredible things over there. You know, lives was being touched. And it's just an amazing to be part of that. You know, that's we part of that ministry that's up there. What he's doing, that's we part of that. And that's just incredible to me. And God is over there doing wonderful, wonderful things. And I just thank him again. And thank y'all. And Brother Troy has something to say.
We are going to pray again. I just got this. Well, Sister Connie came in, and we're going to pray for this. The miracle that's needed in Brother Daniel's life. You know, sometimes you pray and you don't really know what you're praying for. But the fluid caused from his liver can go into his lungs and cause heart failure. And when she showed me that, the Spirit of the Lord arrested my soul, my spirit. And, you know, we really didn't pray. We prayed, but we didn't pray. But this time we're going to pray, because I could tell you, if it had been my dad, or your husband, your uncle. You know, sometimes when it's your dad, you kind of pray different. But you know what? It's God's son. He's God's son, and God cares.